This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And tonight we have a wonderful program plan. Actually, I call it Beginning with the Basics. I have as my guest Dimitri Moriatis, and he is a co-author with Barbara Martin. And the book is called Change Your Aura and Change Your Life. And I would like to talk just a little bit about Barbara, who couldn't join us tonight. And then we're going to go over to Dimitri. Barbara Martin is among the foremost clairvoyants and metaphysical teachers in the world. One of the first lecturers on the aura and the human energy field, she speaks across the United States and to a global audience through her highly successful online training classes. She is co-founder of the renowned Spiritual Arts Institute, where she has instructed thousands on working with spiritual energy. Martin is an award-winning co-author of Karma and Reincarnation, The Healing Power of Your Aura, and Communing with the Divine. And I absolutely am very touched by the work that both Barbara and Dimitri are doing. It has touched me deeply, so I know that it's right on the money. And tonight we have Dimitri joining us. So good evening, Dimitri. How are you?
Oh, very good. It's a delight to be here.
Well, it's a thrill to me. I am very excited. I think we ought to begin with the aura, Dimitri. Some people may not know exactly what it is. So can you tell us what the aura is and what it looks like?
Sure. But first, I also want to say thank you for that introduction for Barbara. Having worked with her now for 32 years, I was just telling her this morning, you know, next week is, the anniversary of us meeting each other in 1980. What was it, 86 or 85? It was 84. Yeah, it was actually an Olympics that year. Yeah.
And happy anniversary.
Yeah. Meeting someone with that profound clairvoyant gift for the aura and just working with her was so transformative. You know, I had recently had my spiritual awakening, and meeting her at that time, I realized, oh gosh, this is my teacher. And studied for many years, yeah. And
well, I want to say to you that I honor her work, and I've known about her for that many years because I started in 1981.
Oh, so wow!
I absolutely admired her.
Are you in Los Angeles? Are you?
No, I'm in New York.
New York. Oh, wonderful! Oh, I went to school in New York. I love New York. Yeah. So, but yes. It's so good that you asked that question because, you know, a lot of people, especially when we wrote this is a revised edition of Change Your Life. And when the very first one came out, there was so much, people thought, oh, the aura is just like a wispy cloud around you, and maybe you're a green, maybe you're a blue. And there wasn't really a clear understanding of it. And to realize it's as intricate a manifestation as our physical body is, with as many little pieces, if you want to call it that, was a profound revelation. So at its core,
it is to most people, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really the foundation of everything we do, because to do anything we need energy, and the place we forge that energy is in our aura.
So, well, of course, you know, I know that people take pictures of the aura at a lot of the psyche fairs, but the first time I ever saw that happen was when I went over to Switzerland in 1991, and they were doing the aura pictures, and I talked with some brilliant people from Germany that were researching the aura, and I had mine done, and they took two. They took one that was supposed to be a past life, and one that was my aura now. And it was just awe-inspiring to me to see all those fabulous colors.
Well, there's a lot to us. Right now, every thought we're thinking is radiating an energy according to the quality of our thought. Everything we're feeling is radiating an energy.
Absolutely true. All thoughts are things.
Yeah, our health, our spirituality, our creativity is in the aura. It's all, even things like related to career and what's going on in your relationships, it's all there. Now, the definition Barbara gave for many, many years has been the aura is a vibratory essence that surrounds all living things. So, in other words, this aura is active. It's not a static.
Well, it's been scientifically proven, Dimitri, because it can be measured. It can be measured in frogs. It can be measured in dogs or in trees.
Yeah. And it's you can also call it the energetic blueprint of the soul, because it does have all these foundational energies for everything that we're doing. And, you know, it was interesting. Barbara was basically born seeing them, but she didn't understand what she was seeing at first. As she tells in the book, it was 3 years old and she had her first experience. And then since then, she was seeing it. And she would be attracted to people that had beautiful colors and detracted, because some did not. But she didn't understand what they meant. It was a great story I love to tell, or she loves to tell too. About 4 years old, her father was a Greek priest, and he was also a builder. He built churches. And so there at the inauguration of this big cathedral, and the archbishop was there with the bishops. And so little four-year-old Barbara's there with her family, and she's looking at the aura of the bishop. And instead of being beautiful and radiant that you would think it would have been, it was ugly and grotesque, she said. It was very dark and menacing. This was the archbishop. The bishops had beautiful pearl luster, but not the archbishop. So when it came time to, you know, kiss the hand as you do at the end of the service, you know, Barbara, they kind of screamed out in front of the crowd, "Oh no, I'm not kissing his hand. He's a monster. He eats children."
Oh my goodness. So,
and she didn't see, she said it innocently. She was just scared of what she was seeing. And of course, she said it was one of many spankings I got. And I eventually learned how to be quiet about it. But then at 11 years old, she was actually in an acting company, a famous one in the Midwest, with Dorothy Lamas, who was the director. And she said Dorothy called me into her house one day, kind of privately, and basically started talking about things that had nothing to do with acting. And pretty much she just told me point blank, "You can see the aura, can't you?" And she dropped her mouth. She said, "Is that what it's called?" And she didn't even have a name for it at that point. And Dorothy said, "You know, I can see it too. And I'm a hermetic scientist, and my mother and grandmother are both hermetic scientists. And I'd like to teach you a little bit about your gifts." And one of the things she taught Barbara was color interpretation. So that understanding a particular shade and where the shade of that color is in the aura is revealing of what's going on with the person. And then she had the keys to unlock interpretation.
I had that happen in my life as well, because as I shared with you earlier, I have also always been able to see auras. And the way that I learned it was when I was working for architects and we were building homes for hard-to-place children in New Jersey. And he said to me, "You can see auras, but do you know that colors affect children's behavior?" And I had not known that. So yep. He taught me that the bedroom should be blue and green, and that the activity room should be a yellow or an orange. And I just, that's the first time that I ever had that kind of exposure. But isn't that fascinating?
That is, because whoever told you that was right. The colors you wear do affect your aura. And yes. It is a good idea to wear, you know, for example, if you are low in energy, it's a good idea to wear bright red. You know,
absolutely.
If you need healing, it's a good, you know, they do play into it. And it's beyond just color therapy or seasons of the year. It's a different kind of a thing. And yes, it is a good idea to avoid some of what we call the unenlightened colors, because they can kind of detract from the aura, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm a New Yorker. And I won't let anybody come to my classes in black or brown. Brown is depression, and black is without color, so that means it's without life.
Well, it can also mean, you know, hatred, murderous rage.
True. But if you wear it a lot and you're depressed, you will become more depressed. And this is what I would teach to my people. I'm sure you're teaching similar things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we put that was a new thing we added in this book, because people were asking about, you know, colors that you wear and all of that. So, you know, I came from the Midwest originally, and you always kind of wore, you know, the dark drab colors. That was kind of the tradition, especially in the fall. So trying to change that. Now, it's nice today, you know, I think we're more accepting of color than we were, let's say, 30 years ago. But definitely, if you walk in your closet and everything is black or brown, just throw in some color into it, you know, brighten it up a little bit.
Even if it's white, it helps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So tell us how the aura changes.
Well, there's two primary ways you can change your aura. The one is, of course, we've been doing this from the beginning of time, and that's with your every word, thought, act, and deed. every positive thing you're doing, even if you're not getting patted on the back for it, is adding to your aura. It's enhancing and brightening the energy field. And in the same way, every destructive or not so productive thing we do, it can detract from the aura. You know, as we said in the book, you know, one very strong outburst of anger shoots out these vitiated red colors, a very dark, dirty, like maroon red, and it can linger for 2 weeks in the aura. So these negative states are powerful. We have to be careful about them.
And I want to ask you a question. Don't you think that people's thoughts towards you affect your aura? I wrote a book called Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? And I was telling people that people's thoughts towards you can help to make you depressed or angry or whatever. Don't you think that's true?
Absolutely. We have to be, and even, especially if it's specifically direct, you know, if someone is thinking ill of you, you can pick up those thoughts. And like you say, it can be like a psychic attack. But if you put the protection, which I'm sure you were also teaching in that book, you can detract it, but you have to be alert. You know, if you, as a matter of fact, usually, if the thought is coming at you from a male, you'll feel it on the right side of the head. And if it's
That's
a female, correct.
You'll
feel it on the left side. So, and you sometimes we even get a picture of the person that may be sending. And the motto we always say is if that thought comes there, oh, bless you. You say to yourself, you know, turn around, turn about, return to the one who sent you out. You know, and you just get that energy to go back.
Banish it and order it gone. And you can do that, Dimitri. You can order it gone and it has to leave. That's natural law.
Yeah, you can't allow it in you. But the problem is sometimes you don't exercise. One of the things we say, no negative energy can enter your aura unless somewhere you're permitting it.
That's correct. And that's, you know, I've been asked all over the world, Dimitri, about hexes and oh, I've got a hex on me. Well, I tell them you can't have a hex on you unless you've given permission. Don't let anybody ever tell you that they're going to put a hex on you because they can't do it without your permission. Do you teach that as well?
Well, and the problem is when you start thinking that way, it can actually attract it to you. You know, when you start thinking you have a hex, that opens the door.
Oh, that's absolutely true. People can become paralyzed with that.
Yeah, well, it can happen. In other words, if I'm really, like, very angry about something and I'm sustaining that anger, I'm kind of, you know, opening myself up to these lower vibrations, which can allow these energies to kind of creep in.
And I call that giving it energy. Don't give energy to it. If you don't give energy to it, it won't come into your system.
Right, right. And that's why all the great teachers through the ages and yogis and mystics have all kind of taught, again, the power of a strong mind to really say, you know, you're not a victim of your life. You're the master of your life. And you decide what's going to happen as far as what you may not be able to change everything in your life at one moment, but you certainly can handle how you react to it.
Absolutely. And that creates your future.
Yeah. And because you're setting up the conditions. So if you're feeling like you are being victimized, even if the situation is not yet turned around, just take charge. In your own consciousness, take charge. Sometimes when we do some of our classes, I'm amazed at how people don't even allow in their own consciousness the idea of this empowerment.
Of the strength.
Much less displaying it. In other words, whether we may think, gosh, you know, I can't even allow myself the idea that I could even have a job like that. Or maybe this relation, you know, you can't imagine.
You know what else? If somebody's angry with you, or if you maybe you borrowed some money from somebody and you haven't been able to pay it back in a timely manner, and you feel that they're sending you negative energy, you don't realize the power that you have. That not only can you dissipate that energy, but you can attract the energy to get them repaid quicker. Don't you agree?
Right. You have to. You know, you could give them maybe a quick call just saying, hey, how you doing there, buddy? I just want you to know the money's coming.
Diffuse
the energy, the thought current. Sometimes, you know, also kindness is, you know, can diffuse things. I love Barbara's story about she was working in a restaurant once, and the lady that was managing it was just always mean and surly. And one time she just, you know, everybody, she put a rose on her desk. And the woman said, who the heck put this on my desk? You know, and she said, I did. But, you know, it softened her. it's sometimes, you know, these people are doing it, they don't even realize the negative energy they're projecting themselves. And sometimes there's simple things you can do to diffuse a situation if it's at work, you know, or something like that. Sometimes these fire, you know, these work gossips and things can build out of proportion, and just kind of being there, setting the record straight. But a lot of that comes from having more confidence, and that's in the aura too. You know, we share with people, if you don't feel confident about yourself, work with the gold. Gold is the color of confidence, so that you
Gold,
can be more dynamic, more
yes.
outgoing. Yeah.
Well, you know, I had an experience last week. I had a friend of mine that was wanting to pick a fight. The whole week, the person wanted to pick a fight, and they were trying to get me to join with them in this fight. And so one day they just started saying nasty things to me, you this, you that, you the other thing. And I just took a deep breath. And of course, what I wanted to say was the old lower energy of go to hell. But what I wound up saying was, I see that you're angry and that you're very worried about something. And I don't know what it is. I know you're angry about it. You're trying to pick a fight. I guess you think that'll make you feel better. But when you're ready to share with me what you're concerned about, I am here to listen. And that person looked at me and stared me in the eye, and I stared right back at them, and then they quietly left. But within 24 hours, they let me know that they were afraid of something and that they were afraid they were going to get diagnosed with cancer. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Well, that does happen very often. You know, we don't realize why, when people are acting that way, there's something going on with themselves. So you handle it the way you need to, you know. And interesting, energetically, by not, you know, the other thing, of course, that happens when you, if you did, you know, not let's say you personally, but if someone does react to that negative anger, not only do they get angry back, but they have invited their energy into their aura. So then it becomes an entanglement, and that's why often you see these fights, because these negative energies bounce back. But if you
Yes,
don't
I
accept it,
apologize for right there.
you put the fire out before it had a chance to start, you
But of
know.
course, we're taught by the Buddha to walk the road, walk the center road,
Right.
and we actually choose what we want to go into. Do we want to go into that skirmish, or do we want to keep walking? And
Right.
so when we do enter into it, it is by choice.
Right. And we'll feel the effects of it. You
Right.
know, we'll feel the effects of it. I mean, and if we don't, I remember, this again was many years ago, I just learned from Barbara about the importance of the emerald green ray, which is a balancing energy, and especially to have it in your emotional center, which is down by the navel, if you ever feel like you are getting emotionally upset about something. And I was in a meeting, it was an important meeting in my job I was at, and there was a lot of heavy emotion going on, and they were kind of looking at me to try to, well, what are you going to do about it? And wasn't I done anything? I just remember feeling this intense emotion in the room, and that like people were almost like, you know, punching me in the stomach. And all I remembered was, keep that emerald green. I had nothing brilliant to say, you know, no
Wonderful.
answers, but by simply not getting angry, you know, getting upset and giving in there, within 10 minutes, the whole thing had blown over like a storm. And the executive director that was there looked at me and said, "What the heck? Just you know, it was just emotion flying all over the room, and by simply not giving into it, everything kind of worked itself out."
Well,
So,
greed, of course, is the color of healing. And I know that you're aware that I did write this new book about the new spiritual chakras. And some of the information that I got was that the solar plexus has changed to the color emerald green, and the heart center is now your golden yellow. So that's very interesting that you've been told to put emerald green in the solar plexus.
yeah, there's four, you know, that we like, what we say is, if you know, you change your aura to change your life, one of the first places you'll change your aura is in the chakras. And
Right.
the four we work with the most are the mental chakra, the throat, the hermetic, and the emotional, because those are the ones that are doing the most receiving and transmitting of energy on a daily
Right. They're
basis.
the ones that are most sensitive to the energies. So people have asked me, can I see the aura? And if I can see the aura, how can it help me, or how can I work with it?
Well, you know, the first thing we say is you need to, it's more than trying to see it, it's more important to work with it.
That's true.
You probably are feeling it already. I mean, if you sense somebody and you get a good vibe from them, you're tuning into their aura, even if it's on an unconscious level. When you get an intuition about something, an inspiration, you're tuning into energies and vibrations, even if you don't use the word aura in that environment. It is true, we are all mystics in the making. You know, we all have those mystical sensories latent within us, and some it's awakened and some it's not, but eventually we'll all have them awakened. Basically, what we share with people is, you know, clairvoyance is really a byproduct of your evolution. So focus on your evolutionary path, work to better yourself, evolve your soul, and at the right time, you know, those things will unfold for you. And then, yes, when they unfold, they do need training. Barbara got her first training at 11, but she didn't start teaching in her 30s. There were 20 years of training to learn to be a trained clairvoyant.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Exactly what happened to me.
It doesn't happen overnight, and you got to be wary of somebody that does have that happen. I remember when we released the book the first time, I was so excited, you know, with so many years of getting it together, and I was talking to the president of, you know, you may know him, then it was years ago, New Leaf, the largest wholesaler metaphysical book in the country. You know? And, you know, he didn't seem so excited. So, well, what's going, you know, I said, well, yeah, yours is one of 400 books on metaphysics that just came out this month.
Yeah, yawn, yawn, right?
Oh, my God.
Your book is excellent.
But then I asked him a little further, well, how many stay on the shelf? And so, not even 10%, you know. So, yes, there's a lot of stuff out there, but, right, the valuable is still, you know. And the book is 40 years of Barbara's experiences. You sound extremely experienced yourself. You know, so these are things like, I guess what I'm saying is there's so many people that get out there now with a couple of ideas and this and that.
And they aren't right. They aren't correct. They have misinformation coming out. Right. But I'll tell you what I like about Barbara's book. It's step by step. Mm-hmm. It really explains everything. It's almost an human unfoldment, don't you think, Demetrius?
Yeah. Well, that's what attracted me to her in the beginning was the clarity of the teaching. For example, a simple thing like, my gosh, we'd heard about the higher self for a long time. It's a metaphysical principle that's been out there. But how many people actually showed you where it was in the aura? You know, so we realize that these philosophic principles often have an actual anatomy. And in the aura, it's 2 feet above your head.
Correct.
And this is the higher self. This is the divine part of you, which you access to receive the light. And the reason it's sort of outside the aura is so it doesn't get enmeshed in all the challenges. It's staying above it. It's kind of like that show, The Guiding Light. You know, it's always there for you.
And the new information that I got, I call it the blessed higher self. Mm-hmm. The blessed higher self is in conjunct with the new eighth chakra, which is the step upward towards taking the universal body, the blessed higher self, and merging it with you so that you can feel more love. Anyway, I'd like people talk about changing their aura. Well, what can I do if I have black in my aura? What can I do if I have brown in my aura? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, of course, the normal things, you do need to watch your thinking and feel. I mean, if you have black, it means you've had a sustained hatred about somebody or something. There's a reason these colors are there. They're not arbitrary. If you've had brown, it means you've been either mean or petty or surly. So there has to be some recognition. As Socrates said, recognition is half the battle, you know. The unexamined life is not worth living. So if you don't take time to look at your weaknesses and strengths, how are you ever going to change them? So there's some basic character things. We have to be honest with ourselves. And then the process, though, that we, as you know, teach in the book is meditation. So you can meditate with divine light to actually infuse the aura with the energy that you need, or this beautiful purifying energy to cut loose, let's say, any of depression or sadness or grief or, you know, any of the things that we're bound to feel.
And when you're meditating like that, it doesn't usually take too long. I think it takes 10 to 20 minutes before you will feel a shift and a lift.
Well, that's what we recommend the classes. Starting out, you want to do about 20 minutes, but it does need to be daily. This is the thing. Yeah, because what happens is if you do like a 2-hour chant once a week on a mountaintop, yeah, that's great. It ain't going to hold you for the whole week. It's kind of like some teeth.
If you have 5 days tops. And I have a little saying that you might want to incorporate. It's called, you don't know what's wrong with you? Well, I'm going to tell you the answer. The way in is the way out, and the way out is the way in.
That's interesting.
That means to go into meditation, of course.
Yeah. No, well, meditation is your one-on-one time with God. You know, some people say, gee, I don't have time to meditate, or I just can't sit still long enough. But remember why you're doing this. You're getting in touch with your oneness, and that's the most important thing you can do. It's kind of like preparing for a battle. You know, before you prepare for a battle, you get your armor, you get your ammunition, and you go into what you have to do. Well, the same thing, life is kind of, you know, there's these dynamics, there's challenges, but to prepare yourself, you need to withdraw, get into that higher oneness, draw in the powers and energy you need, then go out and do the things you need to do in life. We had a doctor once, and he was actually quite honest. He said, you know, I don't really show enough compassion for my patients. I'm a little quick with them. I kind of just see him, you know, however he does. So we were suggesting, well, work with that love ray, work with the deep rose pink, bring it more into your aura. But once in his aura, he's still going to have to take time in his day to stop and say, hey, I care about you. Let me hear what's going on with you. You know, treat them as souls that they really are. Any metaphysical practice is not a byproduct to the normal evolution. We all have to go through the steps of growth, but good practices help you get there quicker.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I have as my guest Dimitri Moriatis, and I would like you to tell us how to reach you.
Oh, great. Yes. Well, we're on the web, of course, spiritualarts.org. Spiritual Arts Institute is our organization. We just got a new center in Encinitas, California, if you're local to Southern California. And you can call us at also 1-800-650-AURA, which is 2872.
Well, we're going to take a break. And after we come back from the break, I want to talk about how spiritual energy helps in healing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big topic.
Thank you. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking dates for October through the end of the year. Thank you for your consideration. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the eighth, the eight and a half, the ninth, and the tenth. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is an MP3 recording that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get this wonderful meditation recording, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. Your universal energy field, or aura, is not only beautiful to look at, but also a primary contributor to your physical and emotional well-being. When your aura is vibrant, chances are good that your health is equally vibrant. Because most physical problems appear first in the aura field and later in the physical body, one of the best ways that you can take care of yourself is by keeping your aura bright, smooth, and clean. You do this through the art of meditation. Recent studies have clearly shown that the benefits of meditation to reduce stress, alleviate pain, deepen awareness, relax muscle tension, improve mind and body coordination, recognizes more choices, feels peaceful, and even reduces biological age. When I help people assess and realign their energy fields through telephone consultations or my energy healing techniques, one of the most common things that I observe is whether or not people are meditating. Those who don't meditate regularly have chakras that are not fully open, and their auras are subsequently quite a bit dimmer than those of people who meditate daily. My gift is to help many people develop a meditation practice to strengthen the aura and clear the chakras as well. The crown chakra opens up to allow the divine energy to come into the body, creating inspiration, and this happens during meditation, giving meditators a radiant aura that sometimes shines like a bright halo above their head. The power of the aura healing and meditation creates a vibrational shift that you will find that your lifelong sense of inner sadness has vanished. Every time you clear your mind and quiet your thoughts, you feel an unshakable inner sense of calmness and peace. Sometimes depression and sadness are still present after meditation, indicating that you have more work to do. Everything can clear out except the sorrow, as though it were the innermost truth of your existence. It is best to keep up with daily meditations and allow the light within to do its work. We need to know that this can take some time and is an instant. All of us have deep sorrow within us for one reason or another. And then one day, it will be gone. When that happened for me, after months and months of meditating, I knew I had changed only one thing in my life. For several months, I had meditated twice daily for 20 minutes to an hour. The disappearance of my inner sadness inspired me to share my aura healing meditation with others so that they could reap similar benefits. By practicing a series of simple meditations each day, you can dramatically improve your life. Healing can take place when you provide yourself with the time and space to receive it. Your health depends on making time for yourself to allow loving, healing energies to flow within your body and in your energy field. And this nourishes your body, mind, and spirit. Accept only unconditional love energies. And when in doubt, throw it out. You wouldn't eat food that has spoiled or welcome violent or abusive people into your home. And once you give this matter some thought, neither would you accept energy into your home or personal space that is anything less than unconditional love. Your body knows this kind of love. It is the kind in which you are totally and completely loved just for being yourself. While conditional love is recognizable because it comes in with expectations and strings attached, unconditional love neither expects nor requires anything. It is like a mother rocking a baby and giving long hugs in her rocking chair. With unconditional love, you can completely relax, be fully yourself, and bask in that adoration as well as the wonderful gold-white light that you feel surrounding you. If unconditional love is unfamiliar territory to you, then just say, "I am loving you," into a mirror every morning, which will strengthen your self-esteem. Think of 10 wonderful qualities that you love to see in other people and that you feel are some of your fantastic finer points. Listen to this positive feedback as you hug yourself. Read the list back to yourself and give yourself some positive feedback as you hug yourself and say, "I love you." Make a set of affirmations by writing down 10 things you love about yourself and reading them aloud to yourself at least 4 times a day, and especially just before you meditate or go to bed. Let them be the last thoughts of your day. Once you get a better idea of how unconditional love feels, you can clean up your energy space by setting an intention that only unconditional love will enter your aura field. Just as you are choosy about whom you allow to enter your home and what food you allow inside your body, you can be selective about what energies you allow to enter and remain within your energy space. If you're unsure whether a certain energetic presence is unconditionally loving or not, throw it out. Command it to leave your presence. Know that you deserve only the best energy in your life and always maintain to keep a high vibration for your personal ascension. The aura healing meditation consists of 2 parts with 2 separate meditations lasting about 20 minutes. They are most powerful when done sequentially since one picks up where the other one left off. The meditator experiences the presence of divine love, feels divine love flowing through them from outside of the body, like a cosmic connection, and then the body, mind, and spirit radiates the divine love throughout the day. This meditation process is a lot like the natural process of breathing, where you experience the air before inhaling it and then exhaling it. These 2 meditations are every bit as simple, powerful, and pure as breathing. And they are the chakras and your body and opening up to the light. A meditation practice renews your strength and vitality through every level of your being, beginning with your energetic essence. We're at the time for awakening memories of perfect health and well-being within your body, mind, and spirit. During the process, you will enter the state of being, which is always a state of perfect balance and health. You can begin by working with the chakras and your body and following up with the meditation, opening up to the light for creating self-esteem. These 2 guided meditations can be ordered through bbsradio.com as well as my website, new-visions.com. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and this has been this week's Cosmic Tip. Now, let's get back to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Next week's guest will be Allison Carman, author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibilities in Uncertain Times. This is a simple yet powerful guide of coping with stress and the worry of everyday life. Allison Carman has spent many years fighting a powerful addiction. It wasn't drugs, alcohol, or fame. It was an addiction to the certainty that if she didn't know what was coming in the future or what it would bring, and who does, she felt anxious and afraid. With insight and empathy, Allison shares the powerful truth that transformed her life and the lives of her clients and readers around the world. The simple message is this: life might not always go as planned or expected, but in the mindset of maybe, it offers us a way to reduce stress and worry and find a path to achieve all that is possible in our lives. So don't miss this show on Sunday, August 14th. Listen in and hear what Allison has to say. Thank you, and now let's get back to Let's Find Out.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. In the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Elizabeth Hepburn singing It's a Quiet Thing. I really love that song. I love it when Elizabeth does it. She's a very good friend. Tonight, my guest is Dimitri Moriatis, and he's a co-author of the book Change Your Aura and Change Your Life. Welcome back, Dimitris.
Oh, good to be back.
We were going to talk about how spiritual energy and the aura helps with healing, with physical healing.
Yes, yes. Well, we've actually written a whole book on that subject, the healing power of your aura. You know, again, if energy is the foundation of healing as much as anything else, and as you draw on the healing power that of the universe and within your own body, you can transform physical conditions. I remember when I first met Barbara, there was a lady that had a brain tumor deep within the brain, and it wasn't operable. And through many healings and, you know, working with the light, she went to back to her doctor, an MRI, all that, and that tumor was gone, you know, and it was a lesson to me. I come from a family of doctors to realize, my gosh, spiritual energy can have that impact. So we encourage, of course, medical treatment, holistic, but whatever you're doing in healing treatment, add that spiritual component, because working with spiritual energy can greatly accelerate the healing process.
And I'm gonna say something to you. I had an identical twin. She passed away in 2013, and she did not meditate. She did not do any of these things. And the doctor, she had pancreatic cancer. We were down in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins, and the doctor said her body isn't accepting the, you know, antibiotic medicine after surgery. And I said, well, I do think that that's because the soul has made a decision to leave the body. But I'm going to switch that to a positive element of, if you do the meditation and you accept the healing and you know you're going to heal, you will heal, and you will heal faster. Don't you find that true?
Well, it sets the climate for health. You know, we tend to think of healing like changing oil in a car. It doesn't really work like that. I mean, we've learned about the power of mind over matter, you know, that the way you think can literally cause as much damage in your body as being hit by a car. So if those things are real, then that means, you know, that was sort of the beginning of the 20th century, that wisdom. Now the 21st century is really seeing, well, now you have to add the component of spiritual energy. Add this element that you can actually harness the consciousness of health. I love what Joel Goldsmith used to say in his healing work, you know, that he had tremendous success in his healings. And he would say, I would go into a consciousness where illness did not exist, and so the healing currents could flow in. And often when he did that, people were relieved of what was going on with them.
I relate mine to the stages of sleep. If you can get down into theta, and I call that surrender. I think that's where we may surrender in the energies and in the theta field of sleep. Then you really are open to all of the, because the body will automatically begin to heal itself if you can get into that state. And all of the negativity is gone because you're either above it or below it, or however you want to look at it. So I always teach my students morning meditation and nightly review. Yeah. And if you have an upset, you have a quarrel, you have a question, you have a disturbance, you have 24 hours to make amends.
And don't take your troubles to bed with you.
Not if you meditate before you go to sleep,
right?
Then you definitely are having wonderful thoughts flow through you. And sometimes, like if you have a love problem, or you have a child problem with kids and with lovers, you want to see the problem resolve itself. So think about how you would like the outcome to be, and let that be your last thought before you go to sleep.
Yeah. Healing is change. Now, from the point of view of the aura, many people don't realize, for example, our organs have auras. And the way the organ is, let's say the heart, often when it's very healthy, has a blue aura. And if that starts to move to a gray, that means that the vitalization, there is some type of an illness brewing there. So it shows again that on an energetic level, and also the body has these what we call health lines. There's these striations that move from out either side of the body. They're, when it's healthy, they're silvery white, and they go to the auric shell. If you're nervous or very stressed, they can actually become jittery, which is a sign again that be careful of overpressurizing your body, because
and even your health can be. Kids that cause lack of sleep, tossing and turning?
Right, because it'll stress the nervous system and it'll keep the consciousness from being able to relax. Nerves work on a different tempo than, say, muscles. You know, I can work my muscles hard as long as I don't hurt them. I'm tired, I rest, I'm good the next morning. But if you stress your nerves, they're slower to regenerate. You can go to sleep and still be exhausted the next morning because you've pressured the nerves too much. And we do live in a rather high stress environment many times. So when you feel yourself pushing yourself and that nervous system is talking to you, you really have to listen to it. Working with the purple ray helps to bring in the peace, to quiet the body, to quiet the nervous system, and just let go. You may not always have the answers to everything, but you can't always stress about it. You have to sometimes trust that there is a higher power and things will work out.
So in summing it up, Dimitri, don't you think that when you're working on your aura and your spiritual energy, that you're also working on your spiritual growth?
Well, that's it. Well, you know, consciousness and light walk hand in hand. The more you brighten your aura, the higher in consciousness you climb. And the more higher in consciousness you climb, the more power you have. Eventually, we're aiming to have the enlightened aura, which does bring in that enlightened consciousness. It is the very barometer of that. Yes, the whole thing is about evolution. And to just end on the note, you know, what we tell people is, you know, your spiritual awakening is not an accident. It's God knocking on your door. And please listen to that, because this is an extraordinary time to grow spiritually. There's more knowledge and information available than there has ever been. I mean, openly to public, and that you're playing a very important part. The higher tells us if one soul were missing, creation would not be complete. So we're indispensable to the life process.
Absolutely. Again, Dimitri, will you tell us how to reach you and the name of your school?
Yes, yes. Well, the book, of course, is Change Your Aura, Change Your Life by Barbara Y. Martin and myself. And the school is Spiritual Arts Institute. spiritualarts.org, 1-800-650-AURA, A-U-R-A, 2872.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Find Out. And I would love you to return. And the next time that you come, we will have an open mic. And I also would like you to give us the honor of doing the meditation.
I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Okay,
and
thank
we'll
you.
See. We'll see you again soon, perhaps in the late fall.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time to get ready for our meditation. Just want to remind you that next week we have Allison Carmen on the air, and she's going to talk about the gift of maybe. And I just love that whole thought about, well, maybe I can do this and maybe I can do that. Right now, let's get ready for the meditation. Please sit in a chair with a spine straight, both feet flat on the floor. And we are going to enjoy your new body and your new life. Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBS Radio. Thank you and good night. And now it's time for our meditation. Please sit in a chair or lie down with your spine straight. If in a chair, have both feet flat on the floor, uncrossed. Creating your new body and your new life. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And feel your entire body begin to relax. Your arms are feeling heavy. Your legs are feeling heavy. Feel your body supported by the chair or the bed that you are resting on. One more time, take a deep breath. In this relaxed state, imagine that you're in an elevator. You're curious, so you push the button for the penthouse. You feel yourself rising up, ascending into the circle of light at the top floor of the penthouse. Here is where you can merge with your blessed higher self. You can refresh, you can renew, and you can find all the answers to the questions that you have about your entire life. As the door opens, step out onto the penthouse floor. Feel the vibration of energy in the room. Take a deep breath. Oh my goodness, you feel at home here, just as you step into an expanded you. You are aware of every fiber of your being. There is a great light, an amber light, glowing and filling the room, and you feel so comfortable. Take a deep breath as your body, mind, and spirit soaks in this energy, and begin to imagine. Feel your eighth chakra crystal clear, 8 feet above your head, and the new fifth dimension energy is funneling down through it to your crown chakra. This energy's intent is to clear away any blockages that are not allowing you to take your very next step. This energy clears your ears so that you can hear your inner voice from your divine guidance. This energy is clearing your voice channel to speak your intent as you walk towards completing your life mission. This vibrating golden energy moves down into your solar plexus. You can feel it through your hips and in the second chakra. This is where creation happens. And then it finally moves into the root chakra at the base of the spine. The energy moves even further down your legs and into the center of the two foot chakras. You feel the color hunter green as the golden divine energy penetrates the ground, instantly sprouting roots to the center of the earth. With that strength, the energy reverses itself and sends a rooted, cleansed, pure energy back up through your foot chakras and up your legs and into your root chakra, then the second chakra, the solar plexus, and finally, it reaches the golden light of the heart center, where it begins to emanate into your auric field, reaching out into the fourth level of the aura, 360 degrees surrounding your body and your complete aura field. This energy is filling every part of your field, your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is beaming light like the sun rays all around you. You are glowing. You feel your light expanding out and beyond the room, out and beyond the house, out and beyond your community, your state, your country. This light emanating from your heart center is now emanating throughout the world. In this light, you feel all fears, resistances, doubts melt away. You know they are released, removed, and transformed in this excellent and valued way. You are creating a void that will be filled with your positive energy, your desires, your creativity, and your spiritual gifts, to fulfill whatever it is that you want. All negativity, pain, anguish has been removed, transformed into the light of who you are, your soul being, that who you truly are. You are at one-ment. Take a deep breath, feel the warmth and the vibration surrounding you, filling you, and lifting you up. Take another deep breath. As you come back to your physical body, you know you are in a new form. As you wiggle your fingers and your toes, take another deep breath. Be still a moment. In the stillness, you will know the truth. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Feel a new thrill and enjoy it as you walk your new path of success and fulfillment. Be sure to keep a journal. Record your new growth for you. And remember that you can always come back to this meditation at any time.